and he was a third base coach, but he doesn't seem to be nearly as ineffective as Chris Maloney is.
Yeah, and Jose's not coming back. I mean, so I don't want anybody to get the idea that, you know, we got to bring Jose back. That's not going to happen. He's happy in the job that he's got now, living in Florida, working with the young kids, and not having the big league pressures, not having the travel situations. You know, he had the knee replacement surgery last year, so he's not coming back. So they've got to find somebody else. And actually, you know, that's one of the reasons I was kind of surprised they actually brought Maloney back to start this year, because there had so many problems last year when he was just kind of given that job at the last minute, because the Cardinals didn't realize that O'Kendall wouldn't be able to coach after having the surgery. So, you know, but they did, and this year to me has not really been any better than last year. So I think, again, there's probably very little chance of that happening, at least during the season, maybe over the winter, maybe something else is done differently. But just something to me that I think would be a positive. I mean, there's no reflection on him, no reflection on, you know, his status in the organization. It's just, you know, like sometimes when you see a manager get fired, sometimes it's not necessarily all his fault. Sometimes it's the player's fault that make that happen, but it's just the reality of the business, again, that sometimes you have to make changes.
And I noticed that firing Mike Matheny was not one of your five. I was kind of hoping it was going to be, but maybe that was number six.
That's very unrealistic. They just got the extension. They've got a very, he and Mozeliak have a very good relationship. I don't see them any, you know, they would have to really, really be in the tank, I think, before something like that would be discussed.
Do they really have that good of a relationship? Because it kind of seems like Mike gets these crazy ideas and Mozeliak kind of lets him go with it for a little bit, maybe hoping that Matheny will kind of snap out of it, and he doesn't. And then Mozeliak seems like he has to step in. You saw that happen a couple years ago when he kept running Alan Craig out to right field when he wasn't effective, and you had Oscar Tavares wasting away basically in AAA. So the only way he could rectify that was trading Alan Craig to Boston. And then you saw the whole thing with this year with Matt Adams playing in left field, and Mozeliak finally had to step in and put an end to that too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that I guess what, I don't know what their personal relationship is. I shouldn't say it suggests that, but I mean, I think that they, you know, Mo lets him be the manager of the team. I mean, you know, but I think he also knows that, and Matheny knows that he's the boss. So, I mean, I do think there's points where they probably have disagreements over strategy, over, you know, in-game decisions, over use of players, over lineups. I mean, I think they talk about that. I mean, I think, you know, I guess at the point, it's not a point where there's been some situations in other clubs where the general manager rarely spoke. You know, I don't think it's like that. That's what I'm trying to say when I think they have a good back and forth and give and take on their, you know, on their differences, and they talk it out and come to some resolutions, you know, and I think Matheny's going to do whatever Mo basically tells him to do. He's a good company soldier, and he knows Mo's the boss.
And you also have in here suggesting the trade Lance Lynn because he's in a contract year. He's pitching extraordinarily well, and as great as he's been on the mound, he's kind of pricing himself out of the Cardinals' budget. And when you look at how Marco Gonzalez and Weaver have been down in AAA, it kind of makes Lance Lynn maybe a little more expendable. But my fear on that is that Michael Wacha has not looked very good in his last couple of starts. And with him, it always seems like a question of when, not if, he gets injured.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a delicate situation, too, because, I mean, if the Cardinals are going to be in contention, are they a better club with Lance Lynn in the rotation? And the answer is yes. But then also, do you run the risk of, if you don't sign him, you know, and he leaves his free agent over the winter, you know, I think the way that the new, and I don't know this 100% accurately, but I do think the way that the new CBA is written, you know, you're not going to get a first-round draft pick anymore. I think the best you can do is like a third-round pick. So, you know, so I think that, because obviously they thought that restriction was hindering movement of free agents to other clubs. So, you know, so what's more valuable to you, you know, a couple of good prospects, maybe a young major league ready player, or, you know, a draft pick in next year's draft. So that's the fine line that they run. That's the risk that they run if they hold on to him too long. Whereas if he's pitching well, contending teams come and say, hey, you know, we'll give you, you know, two of our top three prospects for him. You know, I think you have to reasonably look at that and see that maybe that's something that makes a lot of sense.
I know pitching prospect Jack Flaherty, he has been promoted to AAA. Could you see a scenario where maybe he makes his major league debut sometime this year before September?
It depends on the injury situation. I mean, Luke Weaver made one start in AAA last year before they called him up for the spot start because they had so many injury situations. You know, they run into the rush of games here, and, you know, now in this stretch where they're playing 47 games in 48 days, it wouldn't surprise me if they need another starter. I mean, they've got, you know, obviously a few guys to pick from, you know, who are already on the 40-man in Weaver and in Marco and in Tyler Lyons is already in the big league. So I don't think Flaherty would be the first choice. But I think getting him promoted to Memphis here shows that they're definitely happy with how he's pitching. And he's definitely got it to watch, and I would think would be here in September, if not before. I think the situation Trev might be here before that would have to be an injury related or some kind of an open spot in the rotation that they need somebody to fill.
Rob Raines joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Rob Raines and, of course, read him at stlsportspage.com. One of your other five moves is releasing Johnny Peralta, and I can almost see that happening because Paul DeJong has been playing pretty well since he's had his major league call-up. When Colton Wong comes back from the DL, I can almost see a scenario. I'm hoping, at least I'm seeing the scenario, where they're going to basically thank Johnny Peralta for his service, as you had written, and then they just keep Paul DeJong up here.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I mean, I think they would obviously rather trade Peralta if they could rather than release him, because obviously, you know, a little difference in the amount of money that he's owed versus how much money they have to pay, you know, Broxton to get, you know, to leave. I mean, Broxton's deal is like $3 million, whereas, Peralta's deal is like $10 million. So, you know, the longer you go during the course of the season, the less money that you'll have to owe him at some point down the line. So, you know, I think that, you know, his playing time is going to be very limited. And right now, if you ask me which guy I think could help this club win more games between him and Paul DeJong, the answer is Paul DeJong. You know, because he's got more flexibility. He can play, you know, more positions. He can, you know, run obviously better. I think it's just something that, you know, they're going to have to take a serious look at once, I guess it's Tuesday or Wednesday next week when Wong is ready to come back off the DL, if he is in fact ready because of the elbow situation that, to me, it makes sense, but, you know, again, the money is going to be a driving factor, as it always is in every decision.
I want to talk about today's winner, Adam Wainwright. I had him thinking that he should be at the back end of the rotation the way that his season started, his 2017 season started, but in the past 26 and a third innings, he's only allowed one earned run. He has been fantastic. What has he done differently in your eyes? It seems like he's learning how to pitch with a 35-year-old body, knowing that he can't pitch the same way he did with a 30-year-old body.
What he talked about today was the change in his preparation. You know, how he, you know, is doing different things, you know, on days that he doesn't pitch, and how he's actually changed his pregame repetition, even on days he does pitch, is running more, long tossing longer, just, you know, kind of getting his body more in condition and more ready to go, you know, before that first pitch is thrown. Something he said he never really had to worry about too much in the past. He would just go to the bullpen, you know, make his 20 pitches and be ready to pitch. So I think, yeah, it is adapting to his changed, you know, body, his age, his reality that he doesn't have his same repertoire of pitches that he has. I think he said he's letting hitters talk to him and tell him what's working, what's not working, and adapting to that and changing to that. The thing I think that he's really, really capitalizing on is the variety of how he can throw all of his pitches at different speeds, and he's mixing and matching so much that hitters really can't sit on anything. I mean, he'll throw a 66 mile an hour curveball, then he'll throw a 92 mile an hour fastball, then he'll come back with a 78 mile an hour curveball, you know, I mean, so there's just, and that gap, it's kind of like we always talk about, you know, the pitchers who can move the ball around and spot pitches, you know, at the knees and at the shoulders and, you know, inside corner, outside corner. If you can change that the eyes of a hitter, if you can, you know, kind of get that pitch to where it's, you know, they don't really know what they're looking for, they don't know where they're looking for it at, that really has a big difference in how to pitch, I think, and how a secret to be successful, and I think it's what's working for him.
Rob, final question for the evening. Which of your five scenarios, other than Broxton being released, we already know that one was going to happen. Let's concentrate on the two big ones, trading Matt Carpenter and trading Lance Lynn. Of those two, which one do you think is most likely to happen? I know you're thinking they're both kind of unlikely, but which one do you think is the most likely to happen?
I would say Lynn is more likely, but I also think that would be probably, you're talking middle or end of July. You know, you'll have a better handle, I think, on where this team is as far as, you know, the race and the National League Central and what they have. And what they have, you know, more major league ready in Weaver and Marco. And if those, they feel like they can step in and give you, you know, 10 starts, you know, for the rest of the season and then figure out that. And they may have some conversations with Lynn or his agent at that point, too, and say, what are you thinking, you know, about a contract? And maybe there's some creative things that they could work out and that they could figure out a way to keep him here. I don't think that's a likely scenario. I think he's going to want too much money. And I think with those guys, with Flaherty, with Gomber, I mean, they've got too many, you know, young pitchers kind of just on the horizon of, you know, being able to pitch in the big leagues. I mean, a 1 or 2 year deal might make sense, but Lynn's not going to do that. I mean, he's going to want a 4 or 5 year deal for a lot of money. So he should. I mean, he's at this point in his career where that's what he should get. And it's just a situation where, unfortunately, because of, you know, the numbers that the Cardinals have, and you also got to look at the budget too. I mean, they've got a lot of money committed to starting pitchers. You know, Leek's making a lot of money. Martinez just signed a new deal. You know, Wainwright's got a year to go on his deal. So, you know, the reality is that I just think Lynn's pitching too well. It's going to want too much money. There's going to be too much interest in him for him to probably be a factor in the Cardinals after the rest of the season.
And what we talked about with the young arms that they have and Gonzalez, Weaver, and Flaherty, and you're getting Alex Reyes back next year from his Tommy John surgery, that's going to make Lance Lynn even more expendable, in my opinion, too. So I think you're right. Right now, the division is extraordinarily winnable, but a lot can happen in 2 months before the trade deadline starts, or as we approach the trade deadline at the end of July. I got a feeling, though, the Cubs are going to go on a run. They just got too much talent in that lineup, but they're really struggling right now, getting swept by the Padres, so we'll find out.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting series starting tomorrow. You know, Cubs lost 6 in a row going home, so, you know, they're kind of feeling the pressure a little bit. Cardinals, by virtue of how they pitched the last 2 days, have, you know, 1-2 now, and know that if they get, you know, good starting pitching, which, you know, Lynn's pitching tomorrow, Leek on Saturday, you know, you got to think that, you know, they're going to be in those games with a chance to win. So it could be a big weekend as far as determining how the rest of the season is going to go.
Rob, we appreciate your insight as always, sir. And again, congratulations on being inducted into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame.
I appreciate it very much. Thanks. Anytime.
Thanks, Rob. That is Rob Raines from STLSportsPage.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Rob Raines. Let's take a commercial break. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.